Does your soul say yes this morning? Just a few weeks ago, I was in prayer and the Lord said, "Will you say yes?" I said, "To what?" Sorry, I know some of y'all would have been like, "Yes." But I said, "Yes to what?" I was just curious about the terms of the request. But all I heard back was, "Will you say yes?" And so I said, yes, absolutely. And it's always worth saying yes to God. Yes. It's great if we can get a little bit of extra information, but sometimes we don't. We just say yes to God. My God. Minister Glenn, God is reshaping your identity. How you define who you are. Who are you? What you do, what your purpose is, yes. The most important reason that you are here. God is redefining your identity. I know what it feels like, and it's not a comfortable process. It's scary. Real. It doesn't make sense or match the requirements of our natural everyday lives. But when I looked at you just now, my spirit leaped with that word. God is reshaping your identity, how you define yourself, into the way that He defines you. And it's going to change the course of the direction of your life. Just say yes. Just say yes to God. Just say yes. Just say yes. Praise God. Hallelujah. When I started looking at some things for today, I said, "Well, Lord, I had kind of a feeling about a week ago, and I was like, Lord, I don't know if I want to go that way. I think I go that way often enough." And the Lord reminded me of a prayer that I prayed more than 15, maybe about 15 years ago now. Ever pray something and forget you prayed it and then get it? That's happened to me a couple times and it's happening again. And He reminded me of a prayer that I prayed from Scripture. It took me back to that Scripture and reminded me of it. And when I read it, I was so overjoyed in my spirit because He had answered my prayer, and I'm certainly not going to complain about having received the answer. 1 Kings 4, He took me to, and you don't have to turn there. This is not the text for my message, but just the answer to the prayer that I prayed. Here is the prayer that I prayed. I was in the beginning of my PhD program, and it was so heavy on me to one day have the impact on the mental health field and the faith community that God is now allowing me to begin to have, because I'm just getting started. I'm just getting started. Anybody else just getting started? Because I'm just getting started on what God has me to do. But at that time, there had been nothing left. And hear me say, this was 15 years ago. I'm just getting started. This was 15 years ago. So though it tarry, wait for it. And I said, "God, so many people are suffering. My family had suffered so much. My sister was still alive at that time, but suffering so much with her mental illness. And I said, God, I want to be able to have an impact. Give me the wisdom of Solomon in this area." And then I went to Scripture and I prayed for this. 1 Kings 4:29, "And God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding exceeding much and largeness of heart." See, you can't all your understanding without your heart. Doesn't really allow us to touch people. Sometimes we want to touch people with our knowledge, but not with our heart. But that's not how God does things. God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding exceeding much and largeness of heart, even as the sand that is on the seashore. And Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the children of the East Country and all the wisdom of Egypt. Egypt represents this world. So his wisdom exceeded what the world had. "And for he was wiser than all men, than Ethan the Ezrahite, and Heman, and Chalcol, and Darda, the sons of Mahal," and we don't know who those people are, but I'm sure they must have been super wise, because he was wiser than all men. "And his fame was in all nations round about," in verse 33. "And he spake of trees from the cedar tree that is in Lebanon unto the hyssop that springeth out of the wall. He spake also of beasts and of fowl and of creeping things and of fishes. If anybody's been listening to me minister for a few minutes, you know that I'm often speaking of trees and of fishes and of birds and of creeping things. And there came of all people to hear the wisdom of Solomon from all the kings of the earth which had heard his wisdom. And tears just ran down my face when the Lord took me back to this space and showed me that I had prayed for the wisdom of Solomon in this area. And that he gave Solomon wisdom through revelation about trees and fish and birds and beasts. And so on today, I want to talk to you about trees. But I wanted to share that with you because it blessed me so much. Because sometimes we start to feel like, well, now I got this, I'm tired of this, maybe I should be doing something else. But this is what I asked God for, and he has given it to me, and I'm going to spread it all over the place. Because lives need to be changed. And we need to remain consistent in the glory that he has chosen for our lives. Yeah, yeah. Stop being spiritually ADD. Amen. I can't keep focused on this thing. Now I got it, that I prayed for, that I asked for, and then I'm more interested in something novel, something new. He can constantly give you something new in the space that he has also planted you. And that is critical for our understanding of what it means to be planted in God. And so our scripture today for this message is Isaiah 60. So go with me to Isaiah 60, verse 13. The theme this month is relocating glory. And we're going to learn more today about how God relocates the glory that is reflected in us of him. Isaiah 60, verse 13. The glory of Lebanon shall come unto thee, the fir tree, the pine tree, and the box together, to beautify the place of my sanctuary, and I will make the place of my feet glorious. How many people know the earth is his footstool? And so he's making the place of his feet glorious. Verse 14, the sons of them that afflicted thee shall come bending unto thee, and all that despise thee shall bow themselves down at the soles of thy feet. And they shall call thee the city of the Lord, the Zion of the Holy One of Israel. That thing that messed with you, that thing that made you feel less than, that thing that made you feel like you weren't going to succeed, it may have been a literal person, or it may have been your own mind arguing with you about who you are. But whatever force has come against you to convince you that you are not who God said that you are is now going to bow at your feet and call you the city of the Lord, the Zion of the Holy One of Israel. Whereas thou hast been forsaken and hated, so that no man went through thee, I will make thee an eternal excellency, a joy of many generations. Thou shalt also suck the milk of the Gentiles and the breast of kings. And thou shalt know that I, the Lord, am thy Savior and thy Redeemer and the Mighty One of Jacob. This is what it will mean for you to be his glory. Yeah. Are you ready? Yeah. It's going to require that you be cut. Yeah. Are you willing? Yeah. That was a little bit quieter than ready. I'm sorry. God has come to make sure that the glory that you are is shown forth in the earth. Are you ready? Yeah. Are you willing? Yeah. That was a little bit better. Father God, we thank you. We thank you for your word. And Lord, I ask you to just take over completely right now in the name of Jesus. I submit myself to you, my thoughts, my mind, my notes, my plan. Father God, that you would speak a word that would touch every person in the room today. That God, we will submit to what is required to bring your glory into this earth, to represent your glory into this earth. And in so doing, God, you will bless us with the things that we have desired because we sought your kingdom first. You're adding all things unto us, and we are grateful for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Grab your seats. Grab your seats. All right, so, see, most of you have on your Ravens gear. I see there's a few rebellious. I see a few rebellious souls in here. I see a rebellious Philadelphia soul, a rebellious Steelers soul. I think I saw a rebellious Cleveland soul run, had the nerve to come on stage and everything. My God, but we're going to pray for them. Another Philadelphia rebellion back here in the corner, but you are outnumbered. Those who are with you are more than those who are against you. And so today at 1 o'clock, I know that I need to have you in front of your TV or at least in your car live streaming. So I'm going to pick up the pace and get you out of here on time. When we look at the glory of Lebanon, the glory is defined by the trees that cover this mountain. This mountain in Israel was famous. It was huge and beautiful, snow-capped mountain, and was covered with these magnificent trees, some of the most famous trees in history. They were large and they were strong, and people traveled from all over, as far as Egypt, to buy wood from the trees on this mountain. They were so valued, so prized. There was a time when the trees were suffering, the glory had lifted, but now God is bringing the glory back. And so the prophet is telling them that the trees of Lebanon are going to be strengthened again. And there are three trees mentioned, the fir tree, the pine tree, and the box, which is a species of tree together. And anytime that we see three things, we know that we are reflecting the Godhead. And so we don't need to necessarily try and figure out what each tree is, because together, they really are one message. Right, right. And so in several translations, you see different trees in different translations. One says the fir tree, the cypress tree, and the pine tree. One says the fir tree, the cypress tree, and the juniper tree. And so they're talking about all these different trees, but the trees are actually in the same species. And just as God is three in one, they are all connected. So what's more important than the type of tree is understanding what it was about the tree that was glorious. And so we have these three types of trees. The first one is considered, hold on, come back here, make it big because I don't have my glasses on. All right, the first tree where it talks about the fir tree, that word in Hebrew translates to a noble tree, a stateliness, material for the temple. And so the first thing that brought back glory to Lebanon was nobility, stateliness, and something that's worthy to be used in the place where God is worshiped, which is important because the verse goes on to say that this is going to be his sanctuary. And so we find it important to recognize that I want you to be a noble people. What does it mean to be a noble person on a day-to-day basis? Did anybody do anything noble this week? Got one? Couple people thinking about it. I want to challenge you this week to look for an opportunity to be noble. That is part of us showing his glory. These trees represent who we are. And so, are we a noble people? Though this morning as I was driving here, my daughter and I were driving, just worshiping in the car, and I was just welcoming the presence of God and asking God to speak to me and through me. And you know, the Holy Ghost convicted me all of a sudden. You don't drive to church like this every Sunday. And I was like, ooh, I didn't even say anything to my daughter. That just hurt me. I was like, oh my gosh. Drive to church like this next Sunday. When it's not on you to deliver the word. See, usually it's on pastor to deliver the word. I'm just hunky-dory on Sunday morning like the rest of you guys. I get up, I pick up my little outfit, get my face beat, and come on out here and go to church. Sometimes I even have the nerve, which it really hit me this morning when the Holy Ghost said that, to ask my husband some random question. While he's probably trying to focus. I'm usually checking Instagram. Am I the only person that check Instagram on Sunday morning? Okay, yeah. But this morning, because I recognize and I am committed to the sacred responsibility that it is to deliver the word, I had my mindset changed into a noble space, into something usable to build the temple. I didn't want to hear no mess. I wasn't listening to other stuff. I never turned on the TV this morning. I was just focused and we were worshiping. The music was loud. Olivia and I weren't talking. We were singing together because I'm coming in here to do something that is sacred. But we all are always coming here to do something that is sacred. And the fact that I was doing something different today than I have been doing in previous weeks means that my mindset has not been right. drive into the house of God. I had to repent. Pastor's gonna be happy to ride with me next time. Because I'm coming into a noble space to do something sacred, which is to connect with my brothers and sisters in Christ to fulfill the mandate that the Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as in manner of some is, but come together and be in the house. Yes, we can stream online sometimes, and yes, we can get a word later on the app, but the Bible was clear, not because technology didn't exist then or it might have said stream. No, the Bible is eternal and God sees the in from the beginning. So that word is more important now than it's ever been because of the critical nature of what happens when we connect in person in his house. But we come like an option. And then the worship team has to work hard, and pastor has to work hard, and the atmosphere is a little sticky because we didn't all drive to church like we were coming to do something noble and sacred. We just showed up here, guilty party included, but no more. Because the glory of Lebanon is returning to my life. Is the glory returning to your life? And if so, how will you respond differently in its presence? We gotta level up. I probably used that wrong because I'm old, but gotta do something. We gotta level up because we serve a real, actual, existing God. Don't let this just be part of your ritual. Tithing can become a ritual. Church attendance can become a ritual. Serving on the front line can become a ritual. Ushering can become a ritual. Any of it starts to become a ritual, it loses its meaning to you. But I'm asking you to become noble, useful wood for the building of the temple. That was a part of the glory remaining, a returning. Will you commit to that for me? All right. I'm going to be real simple today. Because sometimes we just need to straighten some stuff out. And I want us to renew our commitment to reflecting the noble dimensions of his glory. The recognition of sacred work. Because we can get meh about God. And I don't want something to have to go wrong for me to get on fire. And too often, that's what happens to us. And we get real strong under pressure. We waking up early. We putting scriptures on Post-its on the glass in the bathroom. I mean, you got scripture on the refrigerator. You open the fridge, you got one in there. So you can just confess. You meditate in the word day and night. I know that the battle is not mine, but the Lord's, and the glory is Lord, and no weapon formed against me can prosper. And as soon as that thing breaks, you settle back down. It's like me suffering through all these weeks of Orange Theory. Only to gorge on cheesecake after my special event. What's the point? What's the point? Because we are gaining, are we only gaining strength for our own use? And then when I don't need it, I don't maintain it. And then I'm weak again. I need us to get our strength back and maintain it. Because the direction of this ship is turning and we need you strong, noble, useful material for building the temple. That was what the fir tree was. The pine tree is a species of hardwood tree. We're going to get back to that. And then the box tree is also a species of cypress or cedar, which we know is used not only to build the temple also, but cedar wood preserves. Anybody have a cedar closet? It keeps the moths from getting to your clothes, so when you take your winter sweaters out from last year, they don't have 8 holes in them. So they sell us cedar chests and cedar closets. Some of you have cedar wood chips and little white things. You put those in there because you are trying to preserve your garments. And so a part of this glory returning to Lebanon is the capacity to be preserved over time. Our garments of righteousness should not be moth-eaten, but preserved. And so we're covered. And are you taking the time to make sure that you are preserved? Are you lining your prayer closet with cedar wood? Is there some preservation of the anointing that you're birthing in that space? Are you actively trying to make sure that it's there? Because if you don't intentionally preserve it, it will die. Nothing stays the same. At every moment, things are either progressing or falling backwards. At every moment, right now, in this instant, your body is aging. Right this minute, you're getting older. It's bad news to me too. I'm gonna be 46 in October. I'm working real hard. I'm trying to turn 36 for 46. So I've been like working out, eating a little better, try to get out. I might have to get some stuff, I don't know, but I'm trying. See if I can turn 36 for my 46th birthday. But I've been doing really well. But then my daughter and I went shopping for some new running sneakers. Remember that pain moment for me? And I like to go to a running store because when you're gonna run long distance, you need a really good shoe. And so they fit you with different brands and make sure that your body doesn't get hurt in running long distance. I needed some new ones. And so she's measured my foot, and I've been wearing a certain size for a long time. And so she measured my foot, and my foot was bigger. And I was like, that's not my size. And I said, when I got these sneakers here a few years ago, they were this size. And she was just like, oh, it's just age. I'm glad I was sitting down. I was like, you coming for me like that? Well, as we get older, our arches collapse and our feet get bigger. Wow. I was like, so I can run, lose weight, get thin, get Botox, do everything, but apparently the feet are going to tell the story. There's no way for me to stop my body from aging. So we're either going forward or backwards, up or down, but you are never in an absolutely still space. And so if we are not actively preserving, actively keeping the anointing alive and protecting it from the things that devour it little by little. I have never opened a cedar closet and seen a moth fly out. And so I have to actively preserve. Have you ever opened your regular closet and seen a bunch of moths fly out? But they've been there, and we know. Not once in my life have I slid open my closet and been like, because moths came flying out. I have never caught a moth in the act of eating up my clothes. But when I take them out of the closet, after months of no use, I find the holes that tell me the moth has been there. See, you're looking for something that needs to be targeted. I gotta attack what's coming at me. I gotta deal with this struggle. I gotta deal with this battle. And if you don't see it, you don't fight. You don't know because you're looking at what you see. You're not looking at what you don't see, but what I see is temporary. But the invisible enemy is the eternal problem that I must address in the spirit realm on a regular basis. Don't wait until it's up in your face, big as you. Baby, what I don't see, I fight. Because I know that the enemy is roaming around, slipping and dipping in a way that I would not recognize him, to try to devour what God is doing in my life, to try to kill, to try to steal. And so I have to stay on it. Just like with exercise, I don't look in the mirror and see myself gaining weight. Anybody ever see it happening? I seen it after it happened. I felt it after it happened. When I gotta lay on the bed trying to get the jeans up. It's always after it happened, but I'm not walking past mirrors in the mall, walking past my reflection and go, oh, I just saw myself get bigger. I don't see it happening. But if my behavior is such that be conducive to gaining weight, I am guaranteed that it is happening, even though it's happening so slowly, I didn't see it. And that is how we are dying in the spirit realm. It's happening slowly. We're gaining unnecessary weight. We're gaining unnecessary weight in the spirit. And yeah, I'm gonna go a little old school on you, but they were right. You're gaining unnecessary weight with what you watch on television. You're gaining unnecessary weight with some of the music you listen to. You're gaining unnecessary weight in some of the conversations that you have. Yeah. You're gaining unnecessary weight by not being in the house of God. And you don't realize at the moment that you're doing it, that you are gaining weight until you find yourself too heavy to run your race. And then you don't know where it came from. If anybody's ever really gotten into examining their diet, you find out that you're getting calories in places you didn't even know. Right. You're like, oh, I thought I was doing good eating that. Right. And then look at the label and be like, oh, jeez. I don't know, it's 600 grams of sugar in here. I thought it was like 20. Because you're not paying attention to the elements of what you consume. And so what you consume that is God-related should not outweigh what you consume that is not. I'm not even taking you back to my childhood when we couldn't listen to no secular music. Folks wasn't wearing no pants, no makeup, no earrings. And you know what? God blessed them because they erred on the side of God. I remember me and my grandmother having a conversation about her. She didn't drink soda for a long time. She was old when she started drinking soda because the Bible said not to take strong drink. And I was like, Nana, it's a soda. It's not a shot of vodka, it's a soda. She said, well, if it might please him, I'll do it anyway. She was willing to err on the side of God. She wasn't looking for the thinnest line where she could do as much as possible or have as much as possible. She wasn't looking for the line and then stand as close as she could right to the line. She was like, if this is the line, I'm gonna just. This where I'm gonna be standing. Because it meant so much to her to maintain the glory of God in her life. But the glory of God had done things for her. It had healed her from breast cancer, healed her from asthma, healed her from yellow jaundice. It had given her a baby when the doctor said she couldn't have no child, when they didn't have IVF back in 1943. It gave her the daughter of her old age, who is my mother. And because of that kind of faith, I'm here. And so she had had a relationship with the glory that made it not worth it to do this. See, after 60 minutes on a strength day at Orange Theory Fitness, I'm not hungry. Why not? Because that was hard. I know that Orange Theory is good for me because I never like it. That's good. You know, after you do a workout a few times, you're like, no, I'm starting to be cool though. No, I kind of like it now. I know it's not, it hasn't happened yet. And so this joke must be working. And when I leave there, and it's like, oh, you want to go get some pancakes? Heck no. Are you kidding me? After what I just went through, I'm not giving up my progress. But we don't do that spiritually. I want you to get a little bit Jesus crazy. Just sprinkle us a little bit of Jesus crazy. Don't worry about becoming a fanatic. Most of y'all are so far from that place. I could dump a whole measuring cup of Jesus crazy on you, and you wouldn't be any closer to fanatic than you are now. So I'm going to ask you to just go a little bit crazy, Jesus crazy. I'm going to ask you to talk out loud to him in your car. I'm going to ask you to post scriptures on your social media. I'm going to ask you to slip in the bathroom at work and just stand in that stall and say, I need a little bit of crazy if you want the glory back. Because, baby, when I say I'm just getting started, I'm just getting started. And the reason I know that is because I'm going crazy. Woo! I'm going crazy. I'm waking up in the middle of the night like, yes, I see souls. I see mental hospitals. I see people impatient and going in there and being able to be a voice of the Lord that understands where they are. I see African nations. I see, I'm going crazy. I'm going crazy. I want you to go just a little bit crazy for Jesus. Throw your faith completely in. Glory is about full weight. Put all of your weight on what God has for your life. Do I believe that if I seek the kingdom first, that all these other things will be added unto me, that my bills will be paid, that my body will be strong, that my children will be taken care of? Do I believe that if I put my full weight on the call, it will matter? I believe it. Just say it. So anyway, these trees beautify Lebanon. That word beautify means glory, but is also translated in the glory of the branches. And so the massive branches that these trees of Lebanon have are the ceiling for a sanctuary. Have you ever been in like the redwood forests or seen a picture of something where the tree branches are so big they create a canopy over our heads? That's what's being described when it says beautify, that the branches would be so big and so strong and so wide that they would create the ceiling of this sanctuary that God will rest his feet on. I need my branches big and wide and strong like that. That's why I have to go a little crazy because of how big I'm trying to get. There's something important, though, about these trees. In these three trees, there's two types of wood. There's hardwood tree and two softwood trees. And these distinctions are important because hardwood trees and softwood trees generally reproduce in different ways. So when we talk about today not just being this glory restored, but relocating this glory, the issue of relocation is in propagation. So what is born next? I am the glory relocated of the Wilkins ministry line. My maiden name is Graham, but spiritually, I have inherited the ministry line of my mother's family, and her maiden name is Wilkins. I am the glory of Wilkins ministry relocated. There was the church that my grandfather started in Wilson, North Carolina, Mount Rose, St. Rose Church, still standing. And then God relocated him to Newark, New Jersey, and he started a church there, Union Gospel Tabernacle, United Holy Church of America. And it's still standing today. And they had my mother, a child of promise and miracle, when they told my grandmother, "No children for you." And then she relocated through marriage to Southern New Jersey to another church, and they had children, and I'm one of those children. And then by producing something that could move a distance, the glory was relocated to Baltimore, Maryland, and that happened through the relationships. And so we have to understand that relocation is intimately entwined with reproduction. We have to reproduce to achieve the relocation of glory. It's not just you running around from place to place, but actually the reproduction then allows you to be in more than one place at once. So let's talk about how that reproduction takes place and the way that God is going to reproduce in this next move of God that he has coming. The juniper tree is given in one of the translations as an example of the softwood tree. The juniper tree reproduces through something called a gymnosperm. It means they have seeds, but no flowers or fruits. And so sometimes reproduction happens through a single seed. But here's something amazing about it. I'm going to read exactly what I found out about the juniper tree from the Arbor Study website. And I want you to hear what the Holy Ghost is saying. Depending on the species, the seeds they produce take 1 to 3 years to develop. The impermeable coat of the seed keeps water from getting in and protects the embryo within the seed when it's being dispersed. It can result in a long dormancy that is usually only broken by physically damaging the seed coat. Dispersal can occur from being swallowed whole by animals. But the resistance of the seed coat allows it to be passed down through the entire digestive system and out without being destroyed along the way. These seeds last a long time, as they can be dispersed long distances over the course of a few years. This is one of the ways that we've been accustomed to reproducing, being made a seed. And these trees have this seed with this thick armor on it that keeps it from being destroyed under any circumstance. It might feel like things are taking forever, but it takes this seed as much as 3 years to even become a full seed. I'm not even talking about a full-grown plant. Just for the seed to be ready, it can take 3 years to get the seed you need to sow. That's a long time. Anybody ever want to do something for God that was special? One day, I can still remember the first time, and don't worry, I'm not about to raise an offering, I don't think. But I remember the first time we ever sowed a $1,000 seed. It was huge to put that much money in the church basket. It took a while to gather, at that time in our lives, it took a while to even gather $1,000 without the lights being turned off. So it took some time for that seed to be put together. Over the years, we've had different challenges, and I've said, God, I want to sow a $5,000 seed. One day, I want to be able to write a check for $10,000 and be able to give it to God's house. And God has been faithful to answer all of those prayers, but it took time for some of those for us to gather the seed. It wasn't like, oh, one day we just won the lottery and was like, great, I got this extra money, I'll just sow it. It was intentional. It took time to gather the seed. And so it could take up to 3 years for this tree to actually construct what it wants to give. You may have a business idea. You may be believing God for a child. And it may take some years to construct the seed itself, much less sowing it. But what's so powerful about this is that when the Bible speaks of the enemy as a devourer, this seed can even survive being devoured. We are so much rebuking the enemy that we never be devoured. But you have a seed in you that's so powerful, so protected, so incorruptible, that it can be devoured and not damaged. Not even devoured and not destroyed. Devoured and not even damaged. Not even a crack in the seed coat. Has anybody been here survived being actually devoured? Because, honey, if you haven't, you might. And sometimes we're fighting so hard, and we're just like, I will not be devoured, I will not be devoured. And sometimes we have to shift our confession to say, even if I'm devoured, I will not be damaged. This seed can survive that and go all the way out the back end, and by that animal, it was relocated many miles by migrating animals, who then dropped that seed somewhere far from where it started. And glory was relocated by what appeared to have been a loss. I promise you that the losses in your life can reproduce. In fact, I decree and declare right now over you that every loss that you have suffered in your life will be returned in the form of glory. Relocated in the name of Jesus, because that time in our walk is over. That's not what God is currently doing for us in this house. That's not how glory is being relocated, but it has been for many of us. For the hardwood trees, reproduction happens differently. I'm a hardwood tree. I've been around a minute. I'm a hardwood tree. Sexual reproduction is actually the method of reproduction for hardwood trees. And by the way, all fruit trees are hardwood trees. So if you're in a position to start bearing fruit, we're in a hardwood tree. And it happens when the pollen from one apple tree floats over and fertilizes the stem of the flower of another apple tree, and then the seed is born. The apple or the fruit, whatever fruit it is, grows around the seed to protect the seed. Then the seed has to fall, the fruit has to fall, rot, get the seed on the ground, get in the ground to grow another one. Or I pick the apple, I spit out the seed somewhere as along, and it grows from there. But there has to be relationship for this kind of reproduction. The example I gave you of me being relocated was the result of relationship, of marriages that move to different places. And many of us have been relocating glory through relationship. It's the people we pray with. It's the church we attend. It's the department that we serve on. And we've gotten into relationship to produce something new. But that's not what God is doing either. Because the problem with that is when we try and choose relationships through which to relocate glory, we don't have any way to control the attributes of the offspring. And so the offspring is never exactly like either parent. It's random. God is doing something right now that's not random. And he has a specific type of glory that he wants to spread. And so random relationship connections will not do it. When gardeners figured out that the random relationship connections were not working because it was producing fruit that was inconsistent and unreliable. Have you been in some relationships that produce things that are inconsistent and unreliable? That would not be good places to house the glory? When gardeners realized that that was production method was inconsistent and unreliable because there wasn't control placed on the crisscross, so the product wasn't able to be standard, they tried something else. They tried grafting. Has anybody ever heard that word? Grafting. So what happens when you graft? They pick a tree whose roots are really good, and they pick another tree whose leaves and branches are really good. They take the really good branch over to the tree with the really good root, and they splice it and actually stick them together in order for it to then heal in a way that unifies it completely. And so now this branch over here was grafted onto the roots of this tree over here. And because they chose very specific traits, it's like breeding dogs. They chose very specific traits, so they had a smaller set of variation in the offspring. There's only these two or three options by grafting it in. But there's a challenge with grafting when it comes to the body of Christ. Go with me to Romans 11, verse 16, where the Bible talks about what happens with grafting or what the danger is with grafting. Romans 11, verse 16, 12, 11. I'm almost done. I'm going to wrap up suddenly. Romans 11, verse 16, for if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy, and if the root be holy, so are the branches. So when it is one thing, root and branches, all from the same tree, we know that if the root is holy, those branches are holy. But if some of the branches be broken off, so sometimes a branch falls off of a holy tree, and this is specifically an olive tree, and then me being a wild olive tree, I'm wild, I ain't come from glory at all, I get grafted in with the glory branches. Any wild branches in here? But by the grace of God, you even sitting in this room. God, you picked me. You're using me. This mess, this broken person, this one who did what, when nobody was looking, how, I'm staying saved to make sure it never comes out. Anybody living under a blood cover so when judgment day comes, the blood is there? Because I do not want y'all to replay the screen to show what I actually was doing, so I'm staying safe so I can stay covered. That makes me wild. Not holy. But he chose a wild branch to replace the holy branches that had broken off. And so it says, thou who art this wild olive tree, but now I was grafted in among them to a holy root, and them with them partakers of the root and the fatness of the olive tree. But here comes the problem in verse 18. Boast not against the branches, but if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Here's the problem with relocating glory in this way. You are a wild branch. God brings you in. You come into the house. He grafts you in. You become an usher, a leader, a department head, a volunteer. You're sitting in here. He's grafted you into a holy place. And then you start boasting. About what church should be doing and why they don't have this and what department is that and where's this ministry and the church I was at before and maybe I need to talk to them because now you got grafted in. You've been hooked up and now you in here talking about what you think should be going on and these not even your roots. These are not your roots. The only out reason you have this opportunity is because somebody else who was originally from the branch didn't do what they needed to do, and God broke them off. And some of you have been here with us at Kingdom Life for a long, long time. But baby, there's a shift happening, and I need you to do what you're supposed to do so you don't get popped off and replaced by something wild. Because God's going to keep his tree stable. This is God's tree. It's not even my tree. It ain't pastor's tree. It's God's tree. God placed him in charge of the tree, but the tree belongs to God. And so don't let my people, you've been with us 15 years, 10 years, 8 years, please don't get popped off because of unbelief. Because you didn't believe what was happening. You didn't believe the prophetic words that have been coming through here week after week about what's coming. About growth, about new locations, about relocating. And you're listening, you're like, well, we've been here all this time, and they've been talking about this, and I haven't seen this. And you start whining, and you don't believe. And those branches get broken off of the original holy root because of unbelief. It makes space for the wild branches to come in. And folks are walking in here and bring a gift and submit to God and be running with it and leading ministries and growing stuff. And you be jealous, like, I could have did that. But you stop believing. You stop believing. You stopped believing. You made it familiar. You weren't driving to church like, yes, I'm a part of this sacred thing. You was doing what I was doing last week. But I'm not getting broke off either. This is not the time to be replaced. If you are a wild branch who came in, don't boast. God didn't send you here to save the tree. He brought you here to be saved. Okay. Verse 18 explains the problem. If you boast, you bearest not the root, but the root thee. When I graft a branch in, I connect the branch to the root. The root is holding on to the branch, but until the branch starts holding on to the root has you, but you don't have the root. If you don't determine to take on the root, you will be broke off again. And the Bible says God will restore those who have been broken off before because they repented and put them back in the spot, and now you out. Do you hear what I'm saying? There's a mindset change that has to happen. There's a commitment level that has to increase. It has become uncommon for church communities to be knit like this. It's a loss in so many places. I grew up in tight-knit church communities. I don't mean tight-knit in people's business. I mean, we were one. We were kingdom. We were a team. We were a movement. And it's so hard to build that now because you have one, you're okay with the root having you, but you're not grabbing onto the roots. And so then if that branch that didn't grab the root is taken back off and planted elsewhere, it won't survive because it doesn't have a root inside of itself to plant itself somewhere else. So let's say pastor says, okay, we're about to have 3 campuses. We want to send some of y'all over here, some of y'all over there, and some of you over there. And we're shutting down this space and we're spreading out. And if the root hasn't gotten in you, then when we plant you in different ground, you won't be able to solidify yourself there because you have no root to get into the new ground. So you can be glorious here, but we can't relocate you. And I need us to be able to relocate you. So I need you to let the root get in you in every area of your life. Go a little crazy. Go a little crazy. Let that root get into you in this house, in the vision. Write down some of the things you hear pastors saying are coming next. Confess those things in your prayers. Ask God to prepare you to walk in the role that he has specifically ordained for you to do it. Because as Bishop Nelson said a few weeks ago, this is Baltimore's church. And we need to look like Baltimore. So there's going to be more than just black folks in here. We need different kinds of people. There's going to be different kinds of music. There might be different things that we do in worship that we haven't done before to reflect everyone. And if you're just like, I don't like that song. Oh, that's what they're doing this week. Oh, I'm not coming. No, I need you to say, God, change me. I can't excite myself. Then excite me, God. I want to be excited. I don't want to miss this move because it is blood bought and there are souls on the line. vine. You gotta grab the root. I need you not to just have the root have you. We got you. Pastor's in the roots. I'm in the roots. We got you, but do you got us? And it's in everything. And as Minister Glenn said, and this isn't in my notes, but as Minister Glenn said, if you don't have a ticket to the movement,
what are you doing?
Hey, I'll let Liv speak for me. What are you doing? Not even just because you're like, well, I'm not really into that, and I heard it's for millennials. Honey, Pastor cast a vision. He's trying to start something from that spot. I'm going to be a part of it, period. I don't want to go. I'm going to go. I'm going to be sitting up in there praying and acting right. But if you cannot just get on board, but let you start your little business. Let you have your little brunch. Let you have your little launch. And a few of your church friends don't come. Then you're like, they not supporting me. People not supporting my friends. You're not supporting my business. You're not supporting what God's calling me to do. And you're not supporting here. The roots got you, but you don't got us. Yeah, I know I'm on the road 80% of the time now. Haven't had a women's ministry event all year. You think I'm not sad about that? I'm sad about it. But guess what? I got sisters all over this room doing all kinds of stuff outside of here. I love your gifts. Get yourselves together and tell me what we gonna do. You got decorative capabilities. You know how to put everything together. You know what the women want to do. I'm not that you have to let God has me doing something. So do something. Do something. Don't just encourage me that you're here to help me do something. Come tell me what we're doing. Come on. Have us. We need it. There shouldn't be a dormant gift in the pew. If you sitting out there and you can sing, but you ain't never tried to join the choir, you sitting out there, you went to school for the arts. You're dancers, musicians, singers, graphic artists. We're dying for that. We need graphic artists and social media stuff. What gift do you have? Just write it down and hand it to somebody. Please give it to the armor bearer. Just want you to know my gift. And then don't get mad if it takes a few months for us to get back to you. That's boasting in the branches. Oh, I'm trying to help you. You know why? Not because of what we need, because God's going to supply. But once you have the opportunity to be the supply, that's very exciting. I'm trying to help you because me walking in my purpose in God has been the most fabulous thing that's ever happened to me. And I want it to happen for you. But we got to move. Get that root. All right. Okay. I got to go because I got to wrap up. And I said I was going to be done by 12:30. Okay. Here we go. So here are the ways that we found that in the past we have relocated glory by being a seed that was long-suffering, a seed that could survive being devoured if that's what it took to be relocated. We found out that we can be reproduced in relationship, and then in relationship that new thing can be moved because there's a part of me that's new, but sometimes it's undependable. And we can be grafted in, and that works really well. As long as we don't boast in the branches, we can be grafted in, but sometimes that product is weak. But there's one more way that glory can be relocated, that makes it replicate itself exactly. It's called cutting. If I take a sharp knife and I cut a branch off just right, and then I cut the top of it off to make it short, and I pluck the leaves away from the bottom so they're not in the way, and I take that piece of that tree and stick it in the ground, it will grow roots on its own. Not only can I cutting relocate the glory of that tree, it only takes about 4 weeks for roots to hit the ground. Would you rather wait 3 years for the seed to develop? And another year for it to be devoured, eaten, traveled, passed into the ground, get in the ground? Would you rather wait a whole season for the pollination process to create a new fruit, to drop on the ground, to rot, for the seed to fall out, to get into the ground? Would you rather wait for a branch to fall off, for the opportunity to be grafted in, pulled together for a whole season, watch it die, and then be resurrected the next season as a new part? Or would you rather just endure? Hey!
a cut. Because if I'm willing to endure being cut off and planted elsewhere, I can have roots in just a few weeks. But I have to be willing to be cut. Some of us would much rather be devoured and relocated because the seed is not damaged in that process. Some of us would rather be grafted because then I can take my time getting ready for what God has next. But if you would allow God to cut you, you can be relocated today. But what will the cut require? The cut is a separation from the place you've been familiar with. I'm a branch on this holy tree. I was born in this tree. I got the glory of God in me, on me, and displayed in me. My leaves are big. My fruit is beautiful. This is where I thrive. And now you want to cut me loose? Move me to another spot? Move me to a different job? Move me to a different department? Change the way I identify myself? That's a cut. A cut will feel dark for a minute. A cut will confuse you because for that moment, you're not attached to anything. And then when you're taken and stuck in the dirt, see, we don't cut roots, we cut branches. Branch ain't never been in the dirt. Branch been up here in the sun. Branch got the easy job. Branch just soaks up the sun and produces the fruit. The root is holding that situation down. The root is pushing into the dirt to find the water and pour in the nutrients. And so many of us only been branches. So it will confuse you to be cut, shortened, stripped, and stuck in the dirt. But in just a few weeks, you could be taking roots. Every single thing that the Lord gives me is always in the Word. This cutting is a prophetic word to you today. The glory of Lebanon is the backstory. But on Friday night, I slept terribly. I tossed and turned all night. But I had one moment of what felt like deep sleep. And in that moment, God showed me a vision. He showed me a massive, powerful, gorgeous tree. And then I saw a piece. The knife was invisible, but I knew that the thing was being cut by the way that the branch was moving, it was being sawed. And I saw it pull off, pop into the dirt, and when it was firmly in the dirt, a golden light emitted from both the tree and the cut. And I woke up. I said, God, what is that? And he took me to Isaiah to show me that the glory of Lebanon was represented by trees. And then these reproductive states that we have been used to, the ways that we have been relocated in the past. But now God is saying, this is the moment that if you allow yourself to be cut, the glory will be relocated and rooted quickly. Where in the Word do we see a cut? There was a tree. And a piece of that tree was cut off. And it was pushed into the ground. And on it hung my Savior, Jesus Christ. And as Jesus went and submitted to the will of God, there was a moment when he was cut off. And you know what he said? Father, Father, why have you forsaken me? Jesus was a cutting. Glory was relocated from heaven to earth by the cutting of our Savior. He had all the same glory as the original tree. He had all the power of the original tree. He was an exact replica of everything that is in the original tree. And so then he was cut away. Everything went dark. He didn't know where God was and felt that by doing what God said, he had lost everything. There's going to be a moment. If you don't have a moment like that, You ain't been cut yet. I've been cut multiple times. Just again, a couple of weeks ago, where God cut me loose from something that was very important to me. And I had to say yes in order to be replanted. But guess what? I mark 4 weeks on my calendar. Because I expect by then for roots to start to appear. But I had to say yes. What was Jesus' version of yes after the cut? Into thy hands I commit my spirit. Jesus got cut, but he still had to say yes. And that was his version of yes. He said, into thy hands I commit my spirit. I'm not saying you're going to physically die. But in order for that cut to take root, you're going to have to say, I commit all of the things that scare me about this to you. I commit what scares me financially. I commit what scares me emotionally. I commit what looks like it will mean that what I dreamed isn't coming to pass. What I wanted to do with my life, where I wanted to go, live, be, whatever, I commit it all into your hands. It's like that Isaac moment that Abraham had when he was asked to sacrifice his promise. Cutting feels like that. It's when you start wondering if your idea was ever from God, or was it just your idea? I can tell you how to find out. Get cut, and then say, in your hands, I commit it. Jesus didn't know. I don't believe that Jesus really knew exactly what was going to happen after that. If he did, why would he have responded to his father that way? When he said, why have you forsaken me? If he had the plan, but he didn't know what was coming, and God couldn't allow him to know what was coming, because if he knew everything that was coming, then he would not be having the same experiences that we're having. He would not be able to be touched by the feelings of our infirmity, because he wouldn't know what it meant to feel scared when you don't know what's happening next. So God could not allow him to have known it all, because then he would not have walked through it the way I'm walking through it. So if Jesus himself was confused by darkness, Father, where are you? Why have you forsaken me? He was confused by the darkness. You're going to be confused by this cut. Some of you have already been cut, but you haven't committed in his hands yet. You're swinging in the dark right now. Not sure whether you want to stay or go. Not whether you're going to stay on this Jesus path or not. You know what? I might be out of here. You cut me. How you going? You done cut me. Is anybody with me? Yeah. You done cut me, and I'm upset. I've been cut. See, Jesus wasn't from Baltimore. So when he got cut, he was like, Father, why? But when y'all get cut, he'd be like, what? Did you just cut me? Come back. Commit everything you think you might lose into his hand. Breathe the last breath of yours and wait to be resurrected. You are the winner, but this is what it's going to take to get to the glory. I'm finished. 12:33, I'm only 3 minutes up. I'm finished. Stand to your feet. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. You know what I've realized in the first couple weeks since this cut of mine is that there really is significant evidence available to me of what that God is actually going to do what he said. But for a few days there, it wasn't affecting me. I wasn't testifying to myself. I was allowing my fear to be bigger than the evidence I had that God is on my side. That's why we have to share our testimonies. That's why we have to remind ourselves of what he has already done. That's why we have to remind ourselves that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Because when I look around, God is clearly doing something.
Yeah, yeah.
But when it gets dark and I'm confused, the evidence from my past, if I allow my flesh to reign, the evidence from my past of what God will do is not enough for me.
Right.
I demand to know the future.
Right.
But if Jesus didn't know, you ain't gonna know.
Yeah.
Sorry. And so I just wanna pray with you today, because each of our cutting is for our individual lives, that God's glory would be manifested in this new place. See, people from all over the world came to Lebanon to get pieces of that glory, but now God doesn't want everyone to have to come to Lebanon. He wants us to be relocated amongst the people so that they see the glory everywhere that God is going to send you. And in order for us to get off the mountain and go into all the world, we got to be cut. If we refuse to be cut and we only want to go in relationship or connection, our product will be unreliable. We got to be cut so that we're the pure thing and not a hybrid.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And not a hybrid. And what happens in each of your lives happens for us collectively. We have such a vision for what God has given us to change education, mental health, violence, that the Baltimore before Kingdom Life, Baltimore after. We want to be the before and after.
Amen.
The line in the sand in our city. But we can't do it alone. Are you willing to be cut with us?
Yes.
To have your life blessed? Amen. Is there anybody here who wants to become a member of Kingdom Life Church? Let me invite you to come on down now. We would love to have you. If there's anyone here who actually wants to become one of us, we want to graft you in. Amen. Amen. I'm always super proud when people join the family when dad's not here, when pastor's not here. Welcome. Welcome. It's you. Welcome. Welcome. We got you. We're the root that's holding on to you right now. Hold on to us as tight as we're going to hold on to you till we become one and the same. Because the day may come when there's a little cut and God may plant us in different places doing the work of this ministry, and every wonderful thing that's inside of you and inside of you and inside of you, I'm so honored that you would bring it here, and I can't wait to see what God's going to do in your life and how we're gonna be blessed by it. So you're a gift to us. Pastor Michael, if you've met him before, if not, he'll be back next Sunday. He's in Africa this week. But we like to let you know that we want to be your pastors. Like, we want this job. We don't go home and complain about how hard it is and, oh man, pastor, blah, blah. We love it. We want the job. We want to minister the word of God to you. We want to walk with you through difficult times. We want to celebrate with you when you're celebrating. We want to reduce your grief when you're grieving. We want God to wake us up at night for us to pray for you that your life will be changed. And if you give us 1 year,
yeah.
1 year,
yeah.
Are there any witnesses in the room?
Yeah.
If you give us 1 year, come to church, be here on Wednesday, be here on Sunday, get involved, volunteer, listen to the word, run with the vision. If you give us 1 year of a little crazy, your life will be completely different. We have evidence that that is true. So I pray you will give us that year, and we want to see what God's going to do in your life. Welcome to Kingdom Life Church, and see all these wonderful people. What do we tell them? We got your back. Amen, amen, amen. This young lady here, if you'll go with her, she's going to give you a little bit of information, but welcome to our family. We are kids. Amen. Lastly, I want to just pray for, if there's anybody who wants prayer, I'm going to open the altar. I'll pray with you. I'll dismiss, and then we'll pray with you. But if you want to come down and just agree together on surviving your cut, I'm surviving mine. If anybody else is mid-cut,
I want to pray with you. If anybody else has been cut and you're confused and trying to reattach, I want to pray with you. If being stuck in this dirt is just messing with your mind, I want to pray with you. If you're finding it a little bit hard to commit into his hands the stuff you're scared of losing, if you say yes, I'm there with you. Let's pray together. I'm anointed, but I'm human. Amen. I'm doing everything I can to walk through it right, though, so that I can tell you the way and that you can make it. Yeah. I know without a shadow of a doubt that there is nothing I could ever give up for God that he will not return to me, because the Bible says he'll never owe me. And his idea of me is better than my idea. Amen. It's impossible for me to see the me that he's creating, but I'm hyped about it, because he's never failed me yet. So if you need prayer for the cut, if you need prayer to be willing to be cut, some of y'all are like, I'm not even sure I'm down. And that's fine. I've been there at a time in my life too. Like, bruh, I don't even, this cut thing, I'm good. But if you're willing, or you want to be willing, you want to pray my favorite prayer, the want to prayer. I don't want to be cut, but I want to. Come on down and we're going to pray together. I'm going to ask my elders to come around front here so that you can pray with people wherever my elders are, some of my ministers.